Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
As promised, we have Daniel Silk, political economy analyst and futurist on the line. Good afternoon to you, Daniel, and thank you for talking to us again.
Well, hi, good afternoon. Always a pleasure.
I love it. I love the fact that we touch base once every 5-6 weeks. We get to take the temperature of the country. We get to analyze if there've been any positive developments or not. And Daniel, what with the president announcing 84 billion rands worth of development in Mooikloof, what with Saragon telling us that PRASA looks like it might be getting its act together, what with the odd arrest or two having been made by the police in the past few days, am I naive in wanting to believe that maybe there is a little green shoot of a change afoot?
Well, look, I think obviously one must always look for better signs, and I think there have been some better signs over the course of the last week. You know, for all the issues, clearly the corruption issue remains uppermost in my mind. There are two big issues. One is corruption and one is policy. But you've got to begin certainly with the sort of rooting out the rot that exists. And I think we have seen some movement over the course of the last week. We've seen one or two indications that the ANC is prepared now to sort of let some of its office bearers now face the music as well. And I think that's important. It's very important from the ruling party's point of view. So there is a tick there. I think that's a moderate tick, and don't get carried away with this.
Okay.
Because I think the big names are yet to be named. But I do think overall that we're coming out of these sort of various stages of lockdown. There is a sense, you know, you can just go to our retail malls over the course of the last weekend or two. You will have noticed footfall is looking a lot better. The stores are looking a lot busier. There is a sense that, you know, we've been through the worst. And the key issue for us, I suppose, other than the corruption issue and the policy issue, is certainly whether we can stave off a second wave of COVID-19. Because if we can, then I think there will be some moderate uptick in GDP, perhaps in this third quarter into the fourth quarter, which we desperately need.
It's interesting because when you talk to the experts whom we do speak to almost daily, they are saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's just the extent of the severity of the second wave.
Well, I don't think one can't actually claim any knowledge on this issue with great certainty. I think that whilst there may well be an uptick again, and we've seen these upticks in other parts of the world, they happen in a different level, in different locales, amongst different categories of people. I think that there's a lot of research still to be done on our South African case study, on the Africa case study for that matter. As we have had lower death rates in South Africa when compared to other parts of the world, it seems as though the disease has not had that very serious effect that it has had in other hotspots. So I'm reluctant to assume, you know, the worst all the time. I'm also reluctant to assume the best all the time, I must tell you. But I do think that whilst there may be an uptick in cases, I suspect we are much better placed to handle this now. I think we've learned something from the last 6 months or so. And let's hope if there is, it's moderate and that we can simply work through it.
It is rather incredible when you think about it. A country like Israel, which was so absolutely on top of the pandemic initially and who now is reporting some of the highest infection rates in the world. And then there's South Africa, who has this massively immunocompromised population. And yet, for whatever reason, inexplicable as it is, we seem to have come out one way or another so much better than the rest of the world.
Well, I think it's a very interesting point, the issue of immunocompromised citizens. I don't think it's just South Africa. I think this is one of the real mysteries of COVID has been the more limited and pleasingly limited effect on the African continent. And I think we're going to see any number of major medical studies done on why those hugely negative predictions on the African continent simply haven't really come to pass in terms of great case numbers, in terms of overloading the hospital and medical facilities of these countries. It's generally been relatively mild as case numbers go. And I think we too here have been protected to some degree, and the jury is out. It's beyond my pay grade, I must tell you, to offer a medical opinion on this.
Sure.
And I think that for many across the world, this is a research issue that's going to be with us for many years. We will be analyzing this issue of how come we actually weren't as susceptible as we thought we were going to be, not just in South Africa, but across the African continent.
Very open-ended question for you. I'm going to end it on this one, and it really is open-ended. But since we last spoke, probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago, what would you say is the biggest trend in South African politics that you have discerned?
Well, look, the big trend coming certainly is all the political parties are gearing up for this massive series of local government by-elections that are going to take place in November. There are over 100 wards that are going to be contested. It's almost going to be a mini election. And this, of course, in advance of next year's local government election. So the big trend really will be to see whether the ANC can keep its majorities in the wake of the COVID restrictions and the corruption allegations, whether the DA can perhaps begin a process of recovery with a new leader, which is about to be elected within the next few weeks. And whether Mr. Malema's party, for that matter, can make some gains on the basis of economic hardship. So I think those trends are key, and we're going to have a litmus test of how South Africans feel just in about 4 to 6 weeks' time, which I think will set the scene for a very robust local election campaign into next year.
Daniel Silk, as always, supremely interesting. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll check in 5 weeks again.
Please do. Don't wait so long.
Okay, deal. Fantastic. I love speaking to that man. He just kind of has a view on South African politics without being engaged and emotional. And it's just, I love it. I love the fact that it makes so much sense to me.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.